Let's pray together. The words of the song that we just sung, Heavenly Father, are a prayer in and out of themselves. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my life, Lord. Speak into it what is true. May that be our prayer this morning, as we've gathered together to worship you, as we've gathered together to open your holy word and to learn from it. May you take our hearts and our lives and speak into them your truth. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. I'm going to have you turn to the book of Matthew. We're going to Matthew chapter 5, page 683, if you're using the Bibles in the chair in front of you, under the chair in front of you. Otherwise, it's Matthew chapter 5. We're going to verses 13 through 16. It's a familiar passage to many of us, but we're going to spend a little bit of time breaking it down and talking about it in our own lives today. The last 2 weeks, we've been talking about cancel culture. We talked about really something that I would say as believers we shouldn't participate in, we shouldn't have a part of. And this morning and next week and the week after, we're going to be talking about some things that Scripture definitely says we should be having a part of in our lives. So we're kind of shifting gears a little bit this morning. So the book of Matthew, chapter 5, I told you all to turn there, and I didn't turn there myself. Book of Matthew, chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 13, where it says this: "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So if you have a red letter Bible, I don't think the ones, I might be wrong on that, the ones at the pews, I don't think they are, but this is a red letter section of the Bible, which means that Jesus wrote this section. These are Jesus' words in this particular passage, and it's talking about this salt and light. And Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. And we all know that salt does a whole bunch of different things. It has a whole bunch of different purposes. In fact, I just Googled something to that question as to how many things, functions does salt have. And one of the lists I came up with was over 99 different functions that there are for salt. So Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. And then Jesus goes on and he says, and you're the light of the world. And I'm going to guess that there's probably like 99 different uses for light as well. But because I didn't figure you wanted to stay here all week, we're not going to talk about all 99 of those. We're going to talk about three things that both salt and light have in common in regards to our walk with Christ. So we're going to jump right in this morning. The very first thing we're going to talk about is that salt and light are important for survival. They're important for survival. We all know that light is essential, right? You learned this back in elementary school. Nothing could grow. Nothing could live without light. If we turn the sunlight off, the world would quickly die. Salt is also a necessity of life. But we tend to take that one a little bit more for granted, I think, because you can go to Giant across the street and you can pick up a container of salt for a buck or two. But salt wasn't that easy to come by during the times of Christ, when this passage was written. And in the days before refrigeration, salt was like the primary way to preserve meat, right? Which is something that you need to survive. When you need salt to preserve your food, and when it's hard to find this thing called salt, it's not as easy as going over to Giant. It takes on much greater value. In fact, salt was sometimes used for payment in the Roman economy. The word salary comes from a Latin word that refers to the practice of paying Roman soldiers with salt. It was a form of payment. Some of you have probably heard the saying, right, that somebody's worth their salt. They're a hard worker. They're doing well. They're worth their salt. When Jesus said that his followers are salt and light, he was saying that Christians, that the believers in Jesus Christ, are essential for the survival of the world. Jesus also said that no one would ever light a lamp in this passage and then put it under a bowl. There's a good reason that nobody would do that. Remember, they didn't have electricity back then. If you put an oil lamp under a bowl, we all know what happens. It goes out. And the point is this. You put your lamp under a bowl and it will go out. If you hide your relationship with God, guess what's going to happen? It's going to extinguish. Take your light out in the open. Take your relationship with God out in the open, and it will burn brightly for all to see and to benefit from. In the same way, if you let the salt out of a shaker, it can flavor all your food. In other words, we have to get out there in the world, and if we are going to reach people, it takes us being the salt and the light. And to do this, we have to take risks. We have to be willing to get out of our comfort zones, to share our faith, to talk with people about the hope that we experience in life and why we experience that hope in life. We may have to be inconvenienced. We might have to actually make that a priority sometimes over the game that we came to watch. But we end up in a conversation with somebody about something much more important than the game we came to watch. Right? We have to be willing to be inconvenienced. We may need to put effort into making it happen, being intentional in essence. We might have to get our hands dirty and try something bold or new if we're going to be salt and light for those who need it. So the first thing that we look at this morning is just simply that salt and light are important for survival. Secondly, salt and light can produce purity. I'm certain that many of us, or most of us, or all of us know about the power of light, right? Sunlight, UV light, can be used to purify water. Oftentimes, some people will choose to use UV light systems and salt in order to purify their hot tub water or their pool water instead of using other chemicals. Some folks use UV systems in their houses to purify their drinking water. There's this purification process that happens as a result of this light. Salt can be used in wounds to cleanse and help heal wounds. Speed up that healing process. It'll hurt, but it does it. We still talk about rubbing salt on a wound. If you go back historically, mothers used to rub salt on their newborns to protect them from infection. In Old Testament, salt was used in order to make sacrifices acceptable to God. Jesus made a puzzling statement when he said, "If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." Again, I think that this is, to us, it's a little bit of a puzzling statement, because all we know is salt that is in the shaker, and that doesn't lose its saltiness. But if we look at the context of what is being spoken about back in biblical times and the process that was used to refine the salt, we can understand this piece of passage. Just this last week on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday morning, we had a little bit of snow that flew for an hour or two out front of the church, and wherever you were at, I'm sure you saw it as well. And I remember looking out the front window after the snow had kind of done a little bit of a covering on the ground, and the plows had gone by, and they had thrown their salt down, and then the plows went by again, and they had thrown all that nasty, gross stuff up onto the side of the road. And that's what it looks like. It looks nasty and gross. It's brown. It looks like there's rocks that are kind of a part of it. It's gross, right? And I think that a part of what we're talking about here in this passage is the salt that they throw down on the road is like the cheapest of cheap salts that you can use. They don't go out and buy salt like we use in our food, right? So they buy this cheap salt that hasn't been refined real well. And then as the snow comes, the salt ends up melting away from the impurities, and the impurities are left. The plow comes and plows it onto the side of the road, and it's just those impurities that are left. That salt that was thrown down no longer has its saltiness because all those impurities are the only thing that is left there. In the part of the world where Jesus lived, salt was collected from the Dead Sea. The salt crystals were often contaminated with other minerals or impurities. Since the actual salt was more soluble than the impurities, rain could just simply wash out the salt. That unsalty salt that was left was worthless. If somebody had given it to somebody else back in biblical times, they probably would have just simply done what Jesus said, thrown it on the ground, and other people would have come and walked on it. It had no value. The Greek word that was used for unsalty salt is moreno. It's the word that we get the term moron from. Christians who are contaminated by sin will lose their effectiveness. A Christian who lives like the rest of the world and then tries to witness for Christ is foolish, or maybe moreno. It's why it matters where you go. It's why it matters who you spend time with. It's why it matters what sites you visit on the internet. It's why it matters what movies you rent, what books or magazines or whatever it is that you read, what TV shows you watch, what music you listen to. That's why all that matters. How can you have a purifying effect if you yourself have become contaminated? I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do. I think there's two extremes that we have to avoid in our lives as believers of Christ. In our day and age, Christians can get too involved in the culture and become contaminated by it. I think that is a very real possibility. But the other extreme, I think, is just as dangerous. In the Middle Ages, certain priests and monks would shut themselves away into monasteries so that they could stay completely pure. And that may have worked in some ways, but it also caused the church then to lose influence in the everyday world of most people. Churches can fall into that same trap, I think. We as believers today can fall into that same trap. We want to protect ourselves. We want to protect our families from the world that's out there that sometimes scares us, maybe. But if we go too far in separating ourselves from the culture, what influence will remain for us, for the culture that God has called us to come and be salt and light to? Paul Michael Raymond said, when the church retreats into the monastery of their four-walled church building, they cease to be any use. Their light is extinguished under a bowl, and they lose all their salt flavor. So how can we stay pure while still being out there in the real world? Jesus answered that question in Matthew chapter 5, 14, I believe. After he said, you are the light of the world, he explained further. And he says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So what does that little sentence mean, right? A city on a hill can't be hidden. I'm certainly not a city, I'm just one person. You're certainly not a city, you're just one person. You're a candle. I'm a candle in the darkness. But we were not meant to shine alone. And we know that from Scripture. When we gather together as the body of Christ, we can help each other stay pure. We can help each other to continue to shine our light and to be pure salt. We encourage each other. We hold each other accountable so that we are ready to go back into the world. That's why we give opportunities through ministry here to be a part of something beyond just our individual selves, right? That's why we offer the life group ministry. Go sign up for it. Randy said you shouldn't use your QR codes during this. You can use them right now. I don't care. Sign up for it. It's important. That's why it's important that we gather to worship together on Sunday mornings and we make that a priority in our families. It's why it's important that we have ministries like youth group and senior fellowship and other gatherings that are centered around Christ and Christ-minded like people. That's why times of fellowship are really, really important. Well, you got your phone out and you're signing up for the life groups. Don't forget to hit this too, right? I'm doing a good job. We can't stay salty and shine brightly on our own. We just can't. We were designed to spend time in community with other believers. God's plan is for us to be a city on a hill, not a candle on a hill. No one can put a whole city under a bowl. When we shine together, we can reach far into the darkness. Both salt and light have one more thing in common that we're going to talk about this morning, and that is salt and light will reveal truth. When I go out to a restaurant or I'm at home and I cook a steak on my grill, salt, when I take salt and sprinkle it over the top of that steak, salt on the steak ends up making it taste a whole lot better, doesn't it? But I never end up saying, wow, that was some great salt after I've eaten my steak. That's not my comment, right? I've sprinkled salt on the steak. I eat my steak. Honey, that was the best salt I think I've ever had. Never once said that. Salt on a steak brings out the true flavors of the steak. Salt on popcorn brings out the popcorn taste. Salt on pretzels brings out the essence of the pretzel. Even in cookies and cakes and all that kind of stuff. What's always on the recipe? I always question this. A dash of salt. Because it brings out the other flavors. It enhances them. Salt enhances the flavors of anything that it touches. And that's the effect that you have at home, at work, at school, in the church, in your neighborhood. If you're a follower of Jesus, you will just naturally enhance the environment around you everywhere you go if you're living according to God's word in your life. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everybody." I don't think it's necessary to preach to everybody or to debate with everybody about everything. The way that we talk, the way that we act, maybe the best thing, the biggest of everything is the way we react, especially to stress. The way we do these things, talk, act, react at work, at school, in our communities, at our home, they will make a difference. If our conversation is full of grace, seasoned with salt, we will draw attention, not to ourselves, but to the one that we follow. That's how we can be the salt of the earth in our daily lives. Salt always enhances the flavor. And light always reveals the truth. Always reveals the truth. I'm going to do a little confession this morning. Maybe 2 weeks ago or so, I had one of those humbling moments in life. We all get those humbling moments, right? Mine happened to be literally right in front of the church on 422 when I decided to rear in the car in front of me. And I'm stopped at the light, and we take off, and I decide to rear-end her, and so I hit her, and we both pull over to the side of the road, and I'm sitting there thinking, great. Literally right across the street from the church, as everybody's come dropping their kids off for daycare, and there I sit. I call the police, I call 911, and I know what this means. It means the fire department's coming out, which I'm a part of, so there's another little bit of a humbling experience. I know the police department's coming out, which I know the officers, so again, a little bit humbling. And so first vehicle that pulls up is their assistant fire chief, and I hop out real quickly. I'm like, Jason, we don't need anything here. We're good. You're good. Just take off. We don't need his flashing red lights revealing the truth of the situation. I'm the car at the back. I'm the one that hit her, right? The ambulance comes, and they sit there with their lights flashing, revealing the truth for another 10, 15 minutes as they talk to the lady that I rear-ended, and she was fine. So I'm just waiting for the police. I'm like, well, where are the police? We're still sitting here. Police aren't there. Police aren't there. So I call back, and they're like, well, they're coming from PSP. I'm like, oh, good. I won't know the officer. But it means I got to sit here longer is the downside. And then I start thinking to myself, DJ, DJ's PSP. I'm going to run into DJ. This will be my luck today. But it was not DJ that ended up coming. But then the officer came, he pulls up behind me, lights going, revealing the truth a little bit more for me for another 10, 15 minutes. And this whole process is like 45 minutes of the truth being revealed by light in my life. But perhaps the better example of it is in a dark room, right? You don't see what the actual surroundings are in a dark room. So if all the lights are off in here and there's no ambient light, you don't see in front of you anything, but you light a candle or you turn on a light switch and all of a sudden it illuminates the room. You see the furniture, you see the decorations that were all hidden by the darkness. If it's dirty, you see the dirt. If it's beautiful, you see the beauty of it. Light reveals the truth. If you are a follower of Jesus, then you give light wherever you go. Just by being who you are, you help people see the truth about God and about their own lives. It's amazing the effect that one believer can have when they love other people the way Jesus loves them. Let me rephrase that. It's amazing the effect that you can have as a believer when you love people the way Jesus loves them. As believers, we should not ever be afraid to come into contact with darkness. Darkness is passive. Darkness is nothing but the absence of light. When the light of Christ enters, the darkness always gives way. Now, just as we're wrapping up here, I want you to notice one thing that Jesus didn't say in this passage as we looked at this passage from Matthew chapter 5, right? He did not say, you need to become the salt and the light. You don't have to figure out how to get salty or how to shine. It says, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are the salt and the light. This room is full of salt and light. Right now. But the purpose of shining together is not to draw attention to ourselves or so that people will say, wow, what a great church it is over there on West Penn Avenue. Our purpose is to draw attention to the truth, to God's word, and to the gospel message and the hope that it brings. We just need to let our light shine and get our salt out of the salt shaker. When we go out into to our communities, people will see how great our God is. They will be drawn to him because we live differently than the world that we're a part of. Wherever this week takes you, I don't know what's on your plates, what's on your agendas, but however you use your time this week, whatever interactions you might have this week, both in the easy conversations and situations and in the difficult ones. Here's my question to you. Will you work at trying to stand out as something different than what the world offers? Will you, through your actions and words, be the salt and the light of Christ that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5? Will you do it? It doesn't happen by accident, but it certainly is instructed to us, and it certainly is needed in the world that we live in. Will you do it? Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much for this morning, for the time of worship. We thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of gathering together that we just take for granted week after week. We thank you for your word, and too often we take it for granted as well. We thank you for the instruction that your word gives to us and the challenges that your word gives to us. As we leave this place today, Lord God, as we go into the week that's ahead for each one of us, may we be salt and light that reveals truth, your truth. May we as believers be salt and light that can produce purity. And Heavenly Father, at the end of the day, we believe that salt and light are important for survival. So may we be people that would offer that hope of Jesus Christ. Lord God, use us to do your work today, tomorrow, and in the weeks and months and years ahead. Pray this in your holy name. Amen.